It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Shenango Coke Works on Neville Island is the smaller of two Coke Works in Allegheny County, operating one battery of 56 ovens, which each year produce 350,000 tons of coke, the main fuel used in steelmaking. Making coke requires filling an oven with coal and baking it at 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit for 18 hours. The baking process produces fine particulates known as PM2.5, a dangerous air pollutant. Coke plants are among the largest single-source emitters of air pollution in the country, and the Shenango plant has consistently violated local clean air regulations. The Shenango plant has operated under four consent orders or court decrees to resolve air pollution issues since 2000. In the latest case against Shenango, the Allegheny County Health Department found the plant violated air quality regulations on more than 300 days during a 432-day period that ended last September 30th. So what is being done about it? And how do people who live downwind of the plant feel about how air quality is being compromised? I'm joined now in Studio A by Jim Thompson, Air Quality Program Manager for the Allegheny County Health Department. Jim Thompson, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. Good to be here.
Also with us is Ken Holmes, a Bellevue resident and a member of the Allegheny County Clean Air Now group. Ken Holmes, good to have you with us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
If you have a comment or question, you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at essspgh, hashtag EPLive. And Jim Thompson, I'm being told you have now the title Deputy Director of Environmental Health.
That is correct. I've last year picked up additional responsibilities for water quality, housing, our food program, and our plumbing program.
Well, we want to make sure we acknowledge that promotion. So we invited a representative from the Shenango Coke Works to join us on the program, but our invitation was declined. Instead, we have this statement from Randy Barris. She is Media Relations Representative of DTE Energy Services in Detroit. Since being acquired by DTE Energy Services in 2008, Shenango has made significant improvements to the Coke battery's environmental performance. The battery has reduced emissions and improved water discharge quality by upgrading equipment, changing production processes, and enhancing reliability. Shenango continues to work closely with the Allegheny County Health Department as we address the legacy environmental issues at the plant. We are focused on the environmental upgrades we have made to the plant under the 2014 consent order and remain committed to staying in compliance with Allegheny County regulations, which are the most stringent in the county. In the country, actually, is what this says. Since Shenango signed the consent agreement in April, we are 98% compliant with pushing emissions. Additionally, the oven doors have been 96% compliant for quite some time. And again, that is a statement from DTE Energy Services, Randy Barris, Media Relations. And again, DTE Energy Services oversees the operation at Shenango, the plant in question, among others, here in Allegheny County. And so, Jim Thompson, with the health department, how closely has Shenango worked with your department, and how are these legacy environmental issues and violations being addressed?
Well, Paul, as Shenango mentioned, we did have a consent order executed with them in April of this year to correct what was really abysmal compliance rates at the plant. Those compliance rates that they mentioned were down to 75% last year and the year before. And it required some major changes in their operations, in maintenance, and that those have been specified. And actually, Shenango has improved since the execution of that order. However, as you mentioned, Coke is a very dirty process, and even if it's operating in 100% compliance, can create a burden on the community. And as a result, we spend a tremendous amount of resources monitoring that plant.
And I want to get back to how the plant is monitored, how air quality inspections are conducted. But Ken Holmes, you have been living downwind of the Shenango plant for 10 years. What are the problems that you have experienced?
The problems that I have experienced started when I moved into Bellevue 10 years ago, and they seem to be persisting without much, you know, without any reduction in the amount of sickness in the communities downwind and around the plant. The communities at Bellevue, Avalon, Ben Avon, usually, and Brighton Heights, usually are what get the brunt of the pollution and whatever else other emissions are coming from that plant. When I moved into Bellevue 10 years ago, I went to meetings with the hopes of, you know, I just discovered that the plant was there. I moved in from the North Hills, from the suburbs. And I saw what was, I looked at it and I said, this looks like the mid-20th century, like 1950s. I didn't think there were such polluting industries so close to Pittsburgh. And it turns out that they had been in violation. You know, since 1980, there's been consent decrees on this plant, on this operation, Shenango, and then after DTE purchased it with DTE. In 2008, when DTE purchased this operation, we had a, you know, we thought things may change a bit, but they haven't. Things have slowly been getting better, but definitely not to the satisfaction of the residents and the communities surrounding the plant.
Let's bring in a caller. We have Joe in Kilbuck Township. Joe, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You are on with Jim Thompson and Ken Holmes.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I attended the meeting that the county health department put on in Avalon earlier this summer, and I thought it was a helpful overview of the operations of the plant there. My question has to do with active surveillance of the plant in terms of the citations. There are 30 different, it's my understanding, there are at least 30 different inspections on the plant per day, 20, like one an hour, and then six kind of spot checks at different processes around the plant. And they are found in violation of those quite frequently in terms of those spot checks. But we don't find out about those until months later until all of these violations accrue. I'm wondering if there's some way the health department could work with the inspectors, who I understand are both employees and contract employees, to really give the residents that information in real time. Because I'm sitting here, I'm about a mile from Shenango, looking out into the Ohio River Valley. It's a foggy day, and anything they're polluting right now is essentially sitting in the Ohio River Valley, and it's also moving to the East End. This doesn't just affect Bellevue and Avalon and Ben Avon. This is the whole city. It's all moving towards the city. I'm wondering, is there some way we can actively monitor that? Citizens could have an app on their phone where they know, oh, today Shenango had four violations at different points, and we can understand what's actually being put into the air while it's happening.
It's a great point and a great question, Joe, and pollution does move with the weather going from west to east, and this plant is just west of downtown Pittsburgh. So, Jim Thompson, to Joe's point, is this information about violations, if it's not being put out if not real time, sooner than months later, why is it not being released to citizens sooner?
Well, as Joe mentioned, there are numerous inspections that are being conducted at the Coke plant every single day. And part of that is a quality assurance function to make sure that those are real violations, that they were done properly. So there is a little bit of a delay. It cannot be real time. But we are actually working with a citizens group. We are meeting frequently with them to try to determine how we can best communicate these violations to the public. And ultimately, we see that on our website. Now, I would say, as far as the air quality itself, we do have a monitor about 700 yards downwind of the plant as the crow flies in Avalon. And that information is available 24/7. So if you go to our website at www.achd.net/air, you can actually see what is the real-time air quality at Avalon.
So there is a way to get real-time updates.
Exactly.
Okay. And we have a tweet from Solar Land Solutions, which says, no excuse for bad air quality at Coke plants. ongoing for years, no change, shut them down, turn Neville Island into a park. Ken Holmes, you're nodding at that.
Yeah. Statements from DTE, the owners of the plant aside, I just want to make sure, and the people that are in the Northborough communities are pretty familiar with these statistics, health statistics. The Northgate High School has twice the asthma rate of the state of Pennsylvania, twice the asthma rate. Respiratory fatalities involving respiratory illnesses in Bellevue are 46% higher than the nation as a whole. Okay, cardiovascular diseases are up. Lung cancer rates are up. Cancer, just general cancer rates are up in this vicinity. Now, these are statistics that are, unarguable statistics. These are facts. And the fact that the plant has been allowed to operate at full tilt 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, and to my knowledge, without let up, without any, even on ozone alert days, in the middle of the summer where you have the temperature at 90, 95 degrees, where the weather is really, the environment can get dangerous for certain types of people, they have never, to my knowledge, been asked to curtail their operations or shut down. Now, that kind of amazes me.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation. Also, our email address, esspgh@wesa.fm. And on Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive. Let's go back to the phones. We have Grant in Manchester. Grant, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You are on with Jim Thompson of the Allegheny County Health Department and Ken Holmes, a resident of Bellevue who lives just downwind of the Shenango plant. Grant, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just had a question. If I burn something, and I live in Bellevue, which I used to live in Bellevue, and I burned a small fire, I would Bellevue police or someone would tell on me, and I'd have to turn it out or extinguish it. What gives the plant the right to pollute on this exponentially huge level, the right to then inflict ecological damage and the result of all the communities you named? You know, at what point do we just say, hey, you're causing this asthma? I don't understand why they can continue to violate these laws day after day, hour after hour, and without any repercussion.
It's a good question, and hang on the line. I think we should probably direct this to Jim Thompson. And Jim, I think what Grant is asking is that if the proof is there, we've seen repeated violations of air quality standards violated by the Shenango plant. With all of these hundreds of violations, how then can they be allowed to continue to operate? What is the justification for it?
Well, Paul, with the regulations that are in place, those regulations are actually in place to make sure that the monitored air quality in that region, or actually in the whole county, meets ambient air quality standards. At this point, I mentioned the monitor at Avalon. That is an attainment of air quality standards at that point. We do not have the authority to shut them down, despite the violations that we are observing. One thing to keep in mind is coke plants are the most monitored sites in Allegheny County. If we monitored every single plant as much as we did there, I'm sure we would have more frequent. It could be arguable to what degree, but we certainly would have more frequent violations noted.
How are these plants monitored? What is done exactly?
Well, there's two classes of monitoring. We have two continuous monitors which operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's an opacity meter on the main combustion stack. If anyone's familiar with the plant, it's the large stack that sticks up in about the middle of the plant. That measures how much smoke is coming out, and it also works at night because it's a light that shines across the stack. There's also a continuous sulfur monitor. in the coke making process, a tremendous amount of coke oven gas is produced, and about half of it is burned within the coke making process. The other half is exported to the plants nearby, and that has to maintain a certain sulfur level to minimize the amount of sulfur dioxide that's being emitted when it's when that gas is burned. There are the other emission points associated with the plant are for fugitive emissions, and those are basically visual. We have inspectors trained to read opacity, and as I said, they do 30 to 50 inspections per day per battery. And unfortunately, the weakness of that is they can only occur during the daylight, and also can only occur when the sun is in a proper position.
Go ahead.
Ken, yeah, I have a Ken question Holmes. To Jim concerning the opacity monitor on the stack, the smokestack itself. That tall smokestack, I've often seen it where being along the river, taking a walk or whatever, I've often seen it, and it seems to be constantly emitting smoke. And I've heard of something called a scrubber. Is it not possible to put that type of device on that? Because everything coming out of that stack is downwind, and it's going into the communities, everything. And it can't be good. It can't be, you know, healthy to be living with that.
Yes. The stack does have opacity exceedances. It's not constant, and certainly when we put our violation reporting on the website, that'll be more apparent. It roughly about 98 to 99% of the time it is in compliance, but there are significant exceedances. Concerning the control equipment, it's not technically feasible to put a scrubber on that stack for numerous reasons, and we could have a long discussion on that. But of all the coke plants in the United States, in the world, actually, you know, it's not technically feasible to put a scrubber on that emission point. The main source of keeping those emissions under control is proper maintenance and operation of the coke battery.
Okay. And another point I wanted to make here is the location of that coke works. That was, I think it was built back in early 60s, 62, I believe, is when that plant became operable.
The Shenango
Yes,
plant
the
on
Shenango
Neville
plant.
Island.
And the location of it, and I understand back then it was Pittsburgh was a steelmaking city, industrial-based city, and things were a lot different then than they are right now. We've learned a lot since then as far as consequences of pollutants in the air and what it does to the health of people in the area of these plants. So given the fact that the plant is where it is, and within a three-mile radius of this plant, there are 60,000 people living. It's not as if it's out in the woods somewhere. Not affecting people. 60,000 population within a three-mile radius of this plant. And here you have, you're like putting a toxic waste dump, that's what I consider it, because it's going into the water and it's going into the air, right in the middle of this population density. And to me, it seems there should be some kind of a formula, some kind of a compensatory type of thing that the health department would do, making emissions from this plant even more stringent than what you have. Because obviously the ill health that's being, you know, that's caused from this plant, you know, it's just too much.
Well, and I
intolerable.
Guess, and I guess it comes down to a question of what is the best environmental performance that can reasonably be expected from local coke plants like Shenango, which we've mentioned the process, that it's a dirty process. We've mentioned that you know, you're almost on a treadmill in terms of the in keeping up, you know, with inspections and making sure that the plant continues, which is virtually running around the clock, that it continues to comply. At the end of the day, can you bring this plant within reasonable standards to satisfy people like Ken Holmes who are living in that area?
Well, as I mentioned, it's a dirty process, and even running at 100% compliance, a large facility like that in close proximity to a population would put significant burden on that community. That plant would not be there if it was applied to if they would apply today to build it.
So, in other words,
it would not meet our air toxics guidelines policy, which was passed a couple of years ago. Unfortunately, the plan is there, And
How does it stay open? And if the county health department can't shut it down, who can? And perhaps who should?
Well, at the present time, we do not have the evidence that that there a public health emergency exists. We do know the pollution causes respiratory problems. It aggravates asthma. But at this point in time, we do not have the authority to shut them down.
We want to take more calls. We want to have more of your comments incorporated into the conversation. We have callers waiting on the line. We'll get to John in Pittsburgh and Michael in Ben Avon and Amy in East End. And we'll continue our conversation with our guests talking about the Shenango Coke Works, Jim Thompson, who is with the Allegheny County Health Department, and Ken Holmes, a Bellevue resident. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are discussing the Shenango Coke Works on Neville Island, the smaller of two Coke Works in Allegheny County, operating in one battery of 56 ovens, which produces 350,000 tons of coal. It's the main fuel used in steel making, and the Shenango plant is operated under four consent orders or court decrees to resolve air pollution issues since 2000. The latest case showed that the plant violated air quality regulations on more than 300 days. Residents living downwind of the plant are concerned about the health issues related to those violations of air quality standards. And we have invited in Jim Thompson, who is with the Allegheny County Health Department. He's Deputy Director of Environmental Health. Also, Ken Holmes, who is a Bellevue resident, joining us. And we're taking your phone calls at 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive. Dawn on Twitter, it says, I'm the mother of three young children. The smell is overwhelming. Can't imagine the harm it is causing to their young lungs. Let's go to a caller. We have John in Pittsburgh. John, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
Hi, Paul. I want to pursue the question with Jim about who does have the authority to shut down the plant.
You're asking who does have the authority to shut
Jim
down the plant?
Jim said we don't have the authority to close down the plant. And
right.
I'm questioning, first of all, who does have that authority, and how does the health department go about convincing that authority that there are grounds to close the plant?
Well, we actually have the authority to take whatever action would be necessary if there is a public health emergency or if we are exceeding national ambient air quality standards. Good example is what was happening at our South Allegheny monitor downwind of the Clareton Coke Works. We were exceeding the PM 2.5 national ambient air quality standard. We had to take action. We executed a consent order with U.S. Steel, which required the shutdown of three batteries at the plant and building a new lower-emitting battery to replace them. So we do have the authority. What I meant is we don't currently have the authority. We certainly don't have the data that shows that there is a public health emergency large enough to be able to cause them to cease operation.
Then what is the point of all the monitoring?
The monitoring is a measure to have compliance to make sure that they do not get into a place where the violations will damage the air quality. So in each case where we have violations, we require a compliance plan in order to correct those violations.
Are they in compliance with the plan that they've negotiated with you?
Yes, they are. They're not at the point in terms of rate of where we want to be. We would like to see 99%+ compliance with all of our emission points. But back in 2012 and 2013, because of poor operating practices and maintenance, they had dipped down to the 75% compliance rate.
So and thank you for that call, John, and the question. So how close has Shenango come to the situation like the one in Clairton, where you where the county health department did step in and say and tell U.S. Steel, you've got to shut this place down?
3 years ago, there was a time our monitor was reading significantly above the National Ambient Air Quality Standard for 1 year. It takes 3 years of an average to actually to declare a violation. And at that point, we did execute some enforcement orders. It was a consent order at that time. It was done administratively. The problem with coke plants, and that's why it requires so much monitoring from us, as well as we also welcome the monitoring from the public, is that you don't fix the problem once. I mean, it requires continuous, ongoing maintenance and requires perfect operation to minimize the emissions.
I have a question for Jim Thompson. If the health statistics that I cited a few minutes ago aren't enough to convince the health department that this is serious and we consider it to be critical, that's not enough? That's not enough to justify cutting back operations or shutting them down? This is a cumulative effect, but it's got fatal consequences.
You know, sir, you know, I'm not an epidemiologist, although we have them in our department. There are a number of factors when you look at health effects. Asthma is a very good one. Those asthma rates are skyrocketing all over the country. Air pollution certainly is a component of that. But we have areas in the county that have high asthma rates that are in relatively clean air quality regions. So, the statistics themselves do not indicate, you know, significantly that there is actually an increased health poor health outcomes surrounding the plant.
Let's go to the phones. We have Michael in Ben Avon, which is also an area that is affected acutely by emissions from the Shenango Coke Works. Michael, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. I'm directing this at Jim Thompson. I'm wondering how Shenango cannot be considered a public health emergency. Clean air is a birthright, in my opinion, but thanks to Allegheny County Health Department inaction, our children are dying, suffering from cancer, asthma, and respiratory disease every single day. According to the American Lung Association, 1,250 of my friends and neighbors are dying prematurely each and every year, and others are born with birth defects. The plant continues to violate its Title V permit daily, which says all odors should stop at the fence line. Allegheny County Health Department doesn't oppose that or enforce that. In the county, our cancer risk from air toxics is in the top 2% of the country, according to the PRETA report, and 10% our city ranks in the dirtiest 10% of monitor air for urban areas for annual particle pollution. How can this not be a public health emergency? And it's very disappointing for me to sit and listen to the health department official defend this. This plant does not belong where it is, and it should be shut down.
All right, Michael, let me jump in. You're all good points, and we're just getting a little short on time here, so I just want to make sure that that Jim Thompson has ample opportunity to respond to your concerns. And you're certainly hearing this from plenty of folks. And so how do you respond to people who say that we may not – see immediately what the health effects are, but years from now we could all be dying of some disease potentially?
Absolutely, and part of the reason that we're in the top 2% in terms of cancer risk in the nation as far as the county is concerned is because we're in the top 1% in terms of population and human activity, such as, you know, more diesel trucks and that sort of thing. And unfortunately, in the northern borough area, that besides Shenango, they're also impacted by increased diesel pollution on top of what they're having from the industrial situation. But getting back to my point is that at this point, we can only act on the authority that's granted to us. And at this point, the measured air in the area is meeting the standards. Now, we understand that may not be enough, and as a result, we are increasing our monitoring effort in the area. We are working with citizens to put smaller monitors at various sites to so that we can get more data to better define what the situation is.
How do you prevent plants? Once you've gotten a plant, say, like Shenango, to meet the standard, how do you prevent plants from exceeding pollution limits again? You have to constantly monitor them. And it has, I would think, be frustrating for the health department to get a plant like Shenango in compliance and only to see that it is somewhere down the line going to exceed those limits again.
It is frustrating. The problem is that a process like this, really hasn't changed much in about 50 years.
So you're really – I'm sorry, go ahead.
And so at this point, we're stuck with these monitoring situations. Now, Michael, the caller, mentioned the Title V permit. All of those contain permit conditions which can be monitored from time to time to try to head off any violation of the actual air quality standard, and that's why those permit conditions are in place.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Amy in the East End. Amy, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. It sounds like that ACHG is doing as much as they can within the regulations. Where is the State Department of Environmental Protection? And given that, if I were operating the plant and I only have to maintain a certain average over 3 years, I would fix it at the end of those 3 years, make sure that I come under that average, and then continue operations as usual. So how do we change the regulations themselves to have a broader and less – it sounds like the county's operating sort of from an acute, emergent perspective, that if there's an emergency, we can step in, or over a really long period, rather than looking at the chronic. So how do we address the regulations themselves, not just monitor to them, but – change them to capture the environment in which we're actually operating?
Amy, that's a great question.
Well, in the case of PM2.5, there's actually two standards. There is a annual average, which is 12 micrograms per cubic meter of air. And then there's a short-term, a 24-hour standard, which is 35. So actually the short-term standard is in there to look at the peaks.
Let's go to Larry in Bethel Park. Larry, you are on with Jim Thompson of the Allegheny County Health Department and also Ken Holmes, who is a Bellevue resident and a member of the Allegheny County Clean Air Now group. Larry, go ahead with your comment or question.
Hi. It's been my experience from what I've read that usually with these kind of polluting and dangerous industries, that when you push hard, they say, okay, well, we're going to lay off the workers then if you enforce this too hard. Has that been a factor in this at all, the pushback from the employees?
I believe that would be something that you would have to answer, Jim. And
well, no. That has absolutely no factor. And not to say that when we take action that industries don't complain about us to the county executive, which happens all the time. But he does support us, and that's the environment we live in.
Larry, thank you for that that call and the question, and we have just a few minutes remaining in this segment. If you'd like to get in a quick comment or question, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. I do want to mention once again that we did invite a representative from Shenango Coke Works to join us. The invitation was declined. We did read a statement earlier from Randy Barris, a media representative of DTE Energy Services in Detroit, which stated that they say that Shenango Coke Works is doing everything it can to work with Allegheny County's health department to be compliant. But this is a difficult issue, and in order for these plants to be compliant, it takes, as you've described, Jim, constant monitoring, and nobody who lives near the plant or downwind of the plant seems to be satisfied with what has been reached in terms of an agreeable standard between the county and the people that operate the Shenango plant. So the question then becomes, what does the future hold? Where do we go from here? And is there a compromise if the plant hasn't gotten to the point where you can step in and shut it down? Is there a way to perhaps create a standard that is more of a livable standard for people like Ken Holmes here? Ken, what would be is there something short of shutting the plan down that would satisfy you and other concerned citizens?
Boy, that's a difficult question. I think at least I'm at the point, and a lot of people that I know, in the area, in the communities up there, are at the point where, you know, we've seen so many consent decrees come down. We've seen them in the company officials. There was a series of meetings between the company officials for a while and the community groups. And the community groups finally gave up, stopped coming to the meetings because they were felt they were being placated by the company. And the company was not serious about their, you know, what their stated intentions were.
You're saying that representatives do not show up.
The community representatives finally.
Right, but I'm talking about the representatives of the plant.
The plant was there, and they made the meetings. This is before I got back into it. I retired with the last three or 4 years and recently started coming back. But in my absence, while I wasn't going to the meetings, there was a community group was getting together with the company officials on a regular basis. And finally, they got to the point, I don't know how long a period it was, the community people said, you know, this is going nowhere. They're not serious.
I see what you're saying. You're saying the members of the community didn't show up because
there was absolutely no positive results from these meetings they were having with the company officials. So they just quit coming and decided that they were just being strung along.
What were the company officials saying?
Good question. I wasn't at these meetings. Right. This is while I was.
So then let's go back to the question I asked you earlier, which is, if short of shutting the plant down, what is there a standard that you can? Is there an air quality standard? Is there some emission standard that could be met that would be satisfactory to the people that live there?
I guess if there were a way to absolutely prevent emissions from that plant, you know, 99% of the time, includes dust emissions, particle emissions, smoke, and whatever else comes out of that plant, that would be a possibility. But in our experience, the only thing that's going to work in the end, given the history with the health department and with the plant officials themselves, is just shutting down. Nothing else seems to work.
I had mentioned that we were running short of time, but we have decided that with the amount of people that are waiting to join the conversation, we're getting a number of calls. Obviously, there's a great deal of interest in this topic. So we would like to keep the dialogue going, and we will take this to the top of the hour, to the conclusion of our program. So for those of you like Doug in Pittsburgh who are waiting to join the conversation, please stay on the line. Again, we have Jim Thompson from the Allegheny County Health Department here, along with Ken Holmes, a resident impacted by poor air quality caused by the Coke plant, the Shenango Valley or the Shenango Coke plant. What can be done to maybe create a more livable air quality standard? A lot of people asking, how can that plant be shut down? We'll continue the conversation here on Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This is 90.5 WESA. Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking about issues related to the Shenango Coke Works on Neville Island and the problems with air quality as a result of the operation of that plant. It has worked, it says, with Allegheny County health officials to meet air pollution standards. There have been complaints, though, about the quality of the air and what the residual health effects of that might be from residents there. We're talking with Jim Thompson, who is with the Allegheny County Health Department, and Ken Holmes, a resident of Bellevue. And we did invite a representative from the Shenango plant to join us, and we were referred to the company that owns or that operates the Shenango plant. It's called DTE Energy Services, and they acquired the plant in 2008. They released this statement to us, which I'll read in part. After declining our invitation to take part, these representatives of the Shenango Coke plant had this to say, quote, "Since being acquired by DTE Energy Services in 2008, Shenango has made significant improvements to the Coke battery's environmental performance. The battery has reduced emissions and improved water discharge quality by upgrading equipment, changing production processes, and enhancing reliability. Shenango continues to work closely with the Allegheny County Health Department as we address the legacy environmental issues at the plant. Again, that's a statement from Randy Barris, Media Relations, DTE Energy Services, which acquired the Shenango Coke Works in 2008. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. The email address, ESSPGH@WESA.FM. On Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive. We're going to the top of the hour with this topic, and let's go to Mark in Greensburg. Mark, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hello, Mark. Are you there?
Hey, guys. Hey, thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. Thank you for joining the program. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hi, my question was for Allegheny Health Department official.
Yes.
And you had mentioned you have two air quality control standards, and you specifically mentioned a short-term standard. But my question was, could you please elaborate if you know, how do those short-term standards differ from, say, long-term air quality control standards? Well, you know, I could be exposed to low levels of a particular chemical for, you know, a year, and it may not have any significant health effect. Does the exposure level is or parts per million or whatever change if we look at a, say, five-year period versus a one-year period?
That is a great question. And, Jim, it speaks to the idea that are we getting so caught up in the numbers and the levels they might reach on a high end over a short period of time that we might be ignoring health concerns raised by Mark here about maybe lower emission levels, but over a longer period of time and exposure?
Well, the Environmental Protection Agency reviews the National Ambient Air Quality Standards every 5 years, looks at the available science, and then sets the standard accordingly. The PM2.5 was just recently, in 2012, changed, where they changed the longer term, the annual standard from 15 down to 12 micrograms. The short-term standard is a 24-hour standard. So over measured over 24 hours, that standard is 35 micrograms per cubic meter. And at the Avalon Monitor, we are far below that standard on the short-term basis. There are other pollutants that have shorter-term standards. For instance, sulfur dioxide. Recently, EPA came out with a one-hour standard. Currently, they do not have a one-hour standard for particulate matter.
Mark, thank you for that phone call. 412-246-2002 if you would like to join the conversation. Ken Holmes, it looks like you wanted to react to what Jim was saying.
Well, this really doesn't relate directly to what Jim just talking about, but I just wanted to insert one more component into this equation here. The fact that in the area of the plant, I think it's also within a 3 mile radius, the poverty rate is 35% as opposed to the poverty rate in the nation in general, 16. Okay, this brings in, according to the EPA, I talked with an official a month or two ago, this brings in an environmental justice question, which may play into this issue too. So, you know, that's another thing that has to be considered. The poverty rate in a given area surrounding a polluting industry.
And what is the county's perspective on that? What Ken is bringing up?
That is a very good point. I mean, usually, and not just in Allegheny County, but across the country, the areas that have the worst air are usually the ones that have the highest poverty rate. In this particular case, we do have an environmental justice area close to Shenango. We also have one close to U.S. Steel. At this point, we do not we set our standards based upon what the EPA standards are, and we're meeting those.
412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's go to Jess in Washington, Pennsylvania. Jess, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hi, Jess.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead with your comment or question.
Thank you for taking the call. Approximately 30 years ago, just to be brief, in Fairmont, West Virginia, there was a Coke battery, pretty poorly run. and it was closed down on the basis of being declared a public nuisance based on the way the ordinance was written for Fairmont. I was wondering for Mr. Holmes in particular whether that might not be a tack to use in this case. The technical standards, obviously, from what we're hearing from Mr. Thompson, are not being met for closing it down from a scientific standpoint, although since I'm a physician and did spend time in an environmental toxicology program, I'm sure that it is affecting the health quite adversely. But I just wondered whether it might not be possible to close it down as public nuisance in general.
Well, yeah, the numbers, you know, the numbers people, you know, keep track of their numbers, and that's how they do their job. But in going to meetings, all the meetings I've been to over the years since I moved into the Bellevue area, we hear people, and they have lots of stories. They have lots of anecdotes, not scientific by any means, but anecdotes. And you pile anecdotes up on top of each other, you get to a point where the evidence is irrefutable that the negative consequences of a plant like this and other plants is just is and you nailed it. It's a public nuisance, and we're frustrated, and we feel that's exactly what this plant is. And hopefully, with enough public pressure and attention to this, something positive will happen.
We have a tweet from Leah who says, "No, not enough is being done. My kids can't play outside some days. I'm afraid to eat food from our garden. Pittsburgh is known for being innovators. We need to lead the way with a clean energy economy." And again, that's from Leah. Is that really perhaps what the ultimate solution here is, to somebody comes along and builds a cleaner plant, or is there a clean coal alternative? That we hear that a lot.
If there's such a thing.
If there is such a thing.
I yes. don't believe there is. But,
many don't. Right. But there are those who do.
Well, you know, again, as Jim said earlier, there is no way that you could build a plant like this where it is now. It would never be approved.
Let's take one last call. This sounds like someone who has a very interesting perspective on this. We need to go quick. We have Dee in Moon Township. Dee, we've got about a minute left. Go ahead and make your point, if you would.
I'm 75 years old. In 1949, we had the Denora smog. I can still taste that sweet taste in the back of my throat. It was the worst pollution in the world. A couple years later, London had a similar thing, and there wasn't anything worse until a chemical plant thing in India. But there is documentation at that time, which U.S. Steel and the Coke people tried to hold down. My sister and I had bronchial pneumonia. She had scars on her lung. I didn't have them on mine. It was a terrible thing. And I have heard no one mention that at all. That was before the Clean Act took place.
Right,
and
right.
It was one of the reasons for the Clean Act. But you haven't mentioned it at all, which tells
me. Well, you have, and I'm glad you brought it up.
65 years has passed, and we are no closer to a solution. That should really trouble people.
It's a great point, Dee. I'm so glad we got it in. We are really short on time. And Dee, you wanted to get to a point, which is a question of why can't that be used as some evidence?
Well, certainly, as Dee mentioned, Denora and the London incidents led to the Clean Air Act. Thankfully, we're nowhere near those types of concentrations in the air. We're looking at short-term effects, not long-term effects, not the short-term effects that the Denora incident did.
Thanks for that comment. It's a good one to end on. Obviously, this is a conversation we'll continue to have. I want to thank both of our guests for being with us today, Jim Thompson with the Allegheny County Health Department, and also Ken Holmes, a Bellevue resident. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thank you for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh.